You may have heard our recent profile of the classical musician Betty Hauk, who gave up her career as a violist because she was going deaf.
I completely turned my back on music. I didn't want to have anything to do with music whatsoever. If I couldn't play up to the level that I was used to, I wasn't going to do it.
Hauk is 72 and has moderate to severe hearing loss that was likely caused by decades of exposure to music. She had to retire because the music didn't sound right to her anymore. She couldn't hear the high notes. It's impossible to replicate how she experiences music, but we asked the audiologist Marshall Chasen to help us out. He works in Toronto with musicians who've lost their hearing, and his son Sean Chasen is a composer who created what you're about to hear. The first third of Chasen's composition is how a song might sound to a person with healthy ears. The middle third is how the same song might sound to someone with hearing loss that's roughly equivalent to Betty Hauk's. And the final seconds are what hearing is like for people who suffer from tinnitus, or ringing in the ears. If you get knocked out, just try again. Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd spoke with Marshall Chasen.
Dr. Chasen, welcome to Here and Now.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
We heard the story of a musician who lost her hearing, and it ended up destroying her career. But, if you look at a list of musicians with hearing loss, the names are huge. You've got Sting, Ozzy Osbourne, Neil Young. And here's Eric Clapton speaking with the BBC earlier this year.
You know, the only thing I'm concerned with now is being in my 70s and being able to be proficient. I mean, I'm going deaf, I've got tinnitus, my hands just about work. It's amazing to myself that I'm still here.
How common is it for musicians to suffer hearing loss like this?
Well, very common, more common than one would think. Hearing loss is not something that shows up after one day or even after one year. It shows up after 20 or 30 years of playing or being exposed to loud noise or loud music. And usually it's painless. There's no outward sign. Your ears don't bleed, for example. Mm-hmm. But it's usually your friends and your family that might notice it long before the individual does. You might hear some ringing or tinnitus in the ears. When it gets a little bit more significant, you can hear pitch perception problems. So let's say you're trying to play C, but you hear it slightly flat as a B or B flat. Mm. Both the ringing in the ears and the pitch perception problems can be career threatening. But until that happens, many musicians don't realize they have a hearing loss.
I mentioned some of those names. They're very recognizable names, famous people. But there is this Finnish study that I've seen that showed 15% of classical musicians that researchers followed had permanent ringing in the ears. And that's compared to just 2% of the general population. So, this is not just for old aging rockers.
No, this is for all ages. In fact, you've hit on something very interesting in that it turns out that classical music is actually more damaging than rock and roll.
Really?
I know it sounds counterintuitive, but if you think about it, it makes a little bit of sense. A rock and roller might pick up their guitar on a Friday night gig and may not even practice or touch their music for another week or two until the next gig. In contrast, a classical musician plays 4 or 5 hours a day practicing. They may teach 1 or 2 hours a day, and then they have 4 or 5 or maybe 7 or 8 different performances every week. So even though the spot intensity might be greater for a rock and roll set, if you take the dose that they get, the number of hours per week of playing for a classical musician, it's much, much greater. There are other reasons as well. It turns out that if you dislike the music, it is more damaging to your hearing. And
really, what
do you
mean?
These data have been around since the early 70s. We're not too sure of all the reasons, but we do know that when you're disliking something, you have a higher stress level. And believe it or not, the biochemistry of the ear changes, and it makes you slightly more susceptible to hearing loss. It's called glutamate ototoxicity.
Doctor, I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. Why are you connecting, or are you connecting, classical musicians with this?
Classical musicians not only play more hours a week than a rock and roller, but many classical musicians play in an environment that is not ideal. Usually they have no choice over the selection of the music. Depending on the environment they're in, there may be some labor relations difficulties.
Hmm.
You may turn around and complain to the trumpet section. And in some cases, it's not unheard of that the trumpet section may play louder just because they're pissed off at you. In a rock and roll band, you usually play the music that you would like to play, so you're happy about it. So the whole labor relations issue and the stress that goes on in a classical venue is much, much more dominant and poorer than in a rock and roll environment.
So tell me about some of the work that you do with these musicians. How do you help them through hearing loss?
Well, there are many things that you can do, and it all starts when they're 14 years old, when they're in the youth orchestras, and you educate them about hearing loss being very slow and gradual and painless. You educate them that a damaging or a potential damaging noise is not all that loud. For example, a dial tone on a telephone is 85 decibels. Nobody in their right mind would think that a dial tone was loud, but it is. It's loud enough such that if you listen to it long enough, it would cause a permanent hearing loss from that sound. Since 1988, there are flat hearing protectors, that is, earplugs that a musician can use where it treats the bass note, the left-hand side of the piano keyboard, identically like the right side of the piano keyboard, the treble notes, such that music still sounds like music. Hmm. They can hear all the subtleties they need to hear, but it's taken from a damaging to a non-damaging level. And in fact, I've done some work with the Canadian National Youth Orchestra for many, many years where we supply them with hearing protection.
But once that hearing is gone, can you do anything to bring a back or help these musicians who must be going through a very emotional time losing their hearing, that, you know, their ears are so central to what it is that they're trying to do with their livelihood and as a form of expression?
Well, there's two answers to that question. The first is that, yes, there are some things that can be done. If I see a musician later in their career, for example, and they've been exposed to 20 or 30 years of noise or music exposure, and there are hearing aids now that are designed specifically for music. The two big things that you have to worry about, though, is the ringing in the ears, the tinnitus, and the pitch perception. Something sounds a little bit flat. Having both of those things can be career-threatening.
Yeah.
So if we can minimize hearing loss, we can minimize the chances of getting ringing or tinnitus or pitch perception problems.
Well, I'll tell you what, similar problems in our industry, in radio as well. I mean, you've got the sound in your ear all day long. It starts to add up. Marshall Chasen, Director of Auditory Research for the Musicians Clinic of Canada, thanks a lot for speaking with me.
Have a wonderful day.